The Chinese and Russian navies are conducting war games in the South China Sea. Why is this important? Well, China's been building whole islands in some of these waters, even though other Asian neighbors don't agree that China owns the waters or has the right to do that. And of course, China getting cozy with Russia is always interesting. Stephen Nagy is professor of international politics at the International Christian University in Tokyo. He joins us by Skype. And Professor, we don't know if these drills are taking place in the disputed waters, but there certainly seems to be some symbolism here.
Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that China does not claim the entire South China Sea. It claims about 90% of the territory that is protruding from the sea, as well as some different areas that have resources. So that's important to note. Second, I think it's important to note that the drills that are going on between the Russian and the Chinese come into different categories. Some categories are about search and rescue. Some are more, I guess, assertive or more controversial in terms of taking on an island that perhaps was captured by another force or another military. And they have some other coordination that's going on in terms of building more cohesiveness between their navies.
Yeah. Well, but even though we don't know which of the waters in the South China Sea the Russian and Chinese navies are in, we do know that China's been telling the U.S. and other countries to stay out of the arguments, the disputes it has with countries like the Philippines over these waters. And Russia's been the only major country to speak out on China's behalf, to say, yeah, you know, back off other countries. You know, what is this about, you think? Is this about Russia demonstrating support for China in the disputes over the waters, or Russia and China, you know, sending the signal that they are, you know, closer allies?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to note that the relationship between China and Russia is precarious at best. They have a joint military drills right now in the South China Sea between China and Russia. But at the same time, Russia is selling Vietnam, another claimant in the South China Sea mess, submarines, and those submarines are directly targeted at the Chinese Navy and military. So it's a very complex relationship. But the message that Russia is sending to the United States is that it can play a very disruptive power working with China to cause problems for American foreign policy and American foreign policy specifically dealing with China in the South China Sea and the East China Sea. For China, on the other hand, it's important to see that they're also playing a similar game. They're saying, well, look, we can work with the Russians. We can work with the Russians, and this will complicate American foreign policy within the region and complicate some of the very balanced and very nuanced relationships with different countries such as the Philippines, Vietnam, and other countries within the region.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Philippines. In July, over the summer, the International Court, The Hague, ruled that China didn't have the claim to portions of the South Sea that it claimed it did, that the Philippines did. How does that get resolved?
Well, in the short term, what we're going to see is putting all these claims under the table, trying to sensationalize it, try and get it out of the media. What we're seeing from the United States side and the Filipino side is to try and save face, give China some political space so that it can go back to its public, get some support, and perhaps calm nationalist tensions within the region. And what we're going to see in the midterm is that more diplomatic engagement from the United States side, more diplomatic engagement from many players within the region to find some kind of compromise. And that compromise will probably be along the lines in terms of joint resource development, avoiding the sovereignty issues. The Japanese expression is throwing it down for future generations. The expression comes from the 1970s when the Japanese and the Chinese decided to basically put the Senkaku Islands, the Diu-Tai Islands dispute on the shelves. They said, well, we're not wise enough to solve this issue today. Let's let future generations solve this. And most likely it won't be future generations, but what current policymakers are thinking is that a confrontational approach with regards to these territorial issues is not productive.
Well, I feel badly now because you say the point is to get it out of the media, and here we are putting it.
We're talking about it.
So let's stop and turn to just one other quick thing we wanted to ask you while we have you. Earlier this week, the U.S. flew two supersonic bombers over South Korea just days after North Korea conducted its fifth nuclear test. Look, was this a direct reaction to the North Koreans, do you think, from the U.S.?
Well, it's an approach to demonstrate that the United States not only has the capacity, but the will and the determination to stand up to this brinkmanship by North Korea. It's also a message to say that the United States also has a significant presence that can apply pressure to countries within the region that can also pressure North Korea to a certain extent. That being said, though, I think this show of force is somewhat counterproductive from the United States in that it heightens the tensions in the North Korean regime. It heightens that sense that the United States is out to get them. It heightens that sense that the United States is, in particular, trying to cause the collapse of North Korea or potentially the North Korean reunification. So from the North Korean standpoint, it only emboldens them to further build their nuclear arsenal and their other missile technologies to prevent the United States from forcefully pushing unification in South Korea's favor.
Sounds like you're saying in the entire region, everybody back off a bit.
That's right.
Yeah. Stephen Nagy, professor of international politics at the International Christian University in Tokyo. Professor, thanks for staying up late. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.